that together we can.
I'm sorry, I was steady talking and the mic wasn't on. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Well, this is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and this is Out of a Pure Heart Ministry. Today is October the 1st, 2012, and thank you so much for joining us on tonight. And we're going to be deviating a little bit from Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of a Mind, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has been speaking to me about ministering on the tongue, about us running our mouths and backbiting, tail-bearing, spreading gossip and the such like that. So what we're going to do is talk about that tonight. And some of Joyce Meyer's things will be peppered in there, you know, throughout the broadcast. But tonight we basically want to talk about the tongue and the mouth and how people use their mouth to hurt other people on purpose. And sometimes it's not on purpose. It's just, you know, some people just like to talk and like to reveal secrets. Then again, we want to talk about, you know, that's why I wanted it to be open forum, because people in the church are being hurt by things that other people have said to them and or about them. I've been a victim of being hurt by things people said, and I've said things about people myself that I should not have said about them. So, you know, that's why we're having this broadcast on tonight, because number one, we want to come clean, but number two, we want to just make sure that we know that backbiting and slander and, you know, telling people's private business is not godly at all. It's not a godly characteristic, and it's something that we need to stop doing, especially us as women. However, I've seen in, you know, some certain denominations that men talk just as much as women. Men spread gossip just as much as women in certain denominations, and I'm not going to name those denominations because somebody might truly get offended if I do that. However, you know, there are denominations where the men are dominant with the gossiping and backbiting, the slander, you know, things of that nature. So on tonight, we just want to talk about those things, and we do want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and not only teach this, but help us to understand what the Spirit of God is saying to us. A lot of times people, you know, they look at the messenger. They don't want to hear, you know, the messenger. They want to hear, maybe they might hear it if T.D. Jakes was preaching it, or they might hear it if, you know, maybe even if Joyce Meyer was teaching it. You know what I'm saying? But this is Teresa and the Holy Ghost. I don't have a big title. I don't have a big following, but I have the Word of God and I have the Holy Spirit, and I have to give it out as God has given it to me. So the key scripture from is James chapter 3. It never fails. Every time I get on the phone rings. It never fails. At the door. I'm on the broadcast. Hello. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. We're going to be coming through James chapter 3, and we're going to read it from verse 1. So if you have your paper and pencil or pen, just get that and get ready, because we are going to read the Word of God. And I am going to be reading some scripture from the Amplified Bible, okay? And this Bible that I have has notes and commentaries by Joyce Meyer. So I'm going to read that. I'm going to read some other information that I have as well. But the Word of God is the authority, and that's what we want to do. We want to read the Word of God. And everything else comes secondary. Amen. At least that's my opinion about it. Okay, so let's just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless you. We praise your holy name, Father God, for you are truly worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we ask you first to please forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you, O God, to teach this broadcast tonight by your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just come in and just move Teresa out of the way and allow your Holy Spirit to just come in and take over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for the hearer of the word tonight, O God, that the word will fall on good ground in the name of Jesus, that the word will not fall on soil that will easily be plucked out, that this word won't easily be plucked out of the soil, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you on tonight, O God, and give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who are unbelievers tonight, God, that you will touch them, Lord God, that they will become born-again believers, Lord God, and that they will seek you with their whole hearts, that they will trust you, that they will turn away from their wickedness and come to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. But there is no life in wickedness, Lord God. Hallelujah. And so we just thank you for the souls turning to you because of the word, because of your word, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because I know that is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, Father, we just going to bring your word tonight, Lord God, and we just pray for the power of your word, the anointing of your word to come forth like never before, God, that we all may be healed, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, where repentance needs to come forth, we pray for repentance to come forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God, we're healing needs to come forth. God, we pray for healing to come forth in the name of Jesus, Father, because we know sometimes people say things about other people because they've been hurt by the person or whatever the case is. But, Father, we yield ourselves to you. We yield our bodies to you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, God, which is our reasonable service, Lord. And, Lord, your word says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So, Father, we yield our bodies to you tonight. We yield our minds, oh God, to you tonight in the name of Jesus, that it will be pleasing to you, God, in Jesus' name. And, Father, I say like the psalmist David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let what I think about and let what I say be pleasing unto you, be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me close this door because somebody came in. That's one of the hazards of being able to do Blog Talk Radio anywhere. Sometimes you get distractions. Hallelujah. But we just thank God anyway. Hallelujah. And praise him for all that he's done and all that he's doing, because he truly is worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. So, okay. Hope you guys have your writing utensils, your paper, because we are going to read the Word of God, because there's life in the Word. Amen. There's life in the Word. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to start at James 3, and I am reading from the Amplified Bible. However, I do have my King James Version handy right here next to me, so we can read from the King James Version as well. I'm used to the King James Version myself, and I prefer the King James Version. So let's just read. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others, my brethren, for you know that we teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his nature, to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse or the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell, Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Who was there among you who was wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, which is envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, if you have those in your heart, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance and a false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peaceable, loving, courteous, considerate, and gentle. It is willing to yield to reason. It is willing to yield to reason. Full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubt, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals, with undisturbance and a peaceful mind free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Okay, that was all from the Amplified Bible, which broke it down. It broke it down. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to go to the King James Version. Okay. I'm just partial to the King James Version. King James Version says in chapter 3, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That was James chapter 3 in the King James Bible, as well as James chapter 3 in the Amplified Bible. But at the beginning of chapter 4 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Came they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members?" We said that before about our members. "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." And that's going on talking about asking amiss. But what we want to do is concentrate on James chapter 3. And verse 5 says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And then verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of where? Hell. It is set on fire of hell. And then in verse 8 it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Go back to verse 2 and it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. We want to ask God to help us that we become that perfect man. We want to be able to be that person who can bridle the whole body. We want to be able to be that person who can bridle the tongue, who can control the tongue. But we need wisdom from God, and we need self-control. A lot of people, I don't care where you go, a lot of people have been hurt by people backbiting, by people lying, by people swift to tell things that they shouldn't tell, just gossiping. I have some key scriptures here that I'd like for you to write down pertaining to that. And if you're ready to write, here we go. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. That's Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 24. We always like to say, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But the following verse says, put away from thee. Sounds like something we got to do. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Okay? Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That's Proverbs 10:32. Proverbs 11:9 says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. The hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Okay? But through knowledge shall the just be delivered. That was Proverbs 11, verse 9. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. Okay? Now we see some key words from these few verses I just read. In Proverbs 10:32, you said, but the mouth of the wicked. Okay? In Proverbs 4, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Proverbs 11 says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. And Proverbs 11 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. Okay? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You can't win souls if you're out there backbiting about everybody, and, you know, people know you to be a gossip and a liar and a talebearer and a hypocrite and all that. Okay? Got to check ourselves. Proverbs 12:6, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. The words of the wicked. Can y'all really underline that in your Bible? The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Okay? We just read James chapter 3. But when I was writing the scripture out, I started writing it from verse 5. And there were some things that were I was highlighting. And starting at verse 5, it says, even so the tongue, which I have highlighted, is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindeth. Okay? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Okay? So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Okay? So all of the things that I said prior about being a hypocrite, a backbiter, a talebearer, and all those things, that is straight from hell. It is set on fire of hell. This is the word of God. I didn't write that. That backbiting, talebearing, lying, gossiping, jealousy and strife, that is none of that stuff is from God. That is straight from the devil. It is set on fire from hell. If you are backbiting about somebody, if we are backbiting, if we are gossiping, if we are spreading all kinds of evil things about people, we are spreading hell. Our mouths are spewing out hellish stuff. Our mouth is spewing out fire, and fire kills, fire burns, fire hurts, okay, when you're using it in a negative situation, okay? Fire is good in the right setting, okay? It provides heat. It provides, you know, the right type of heat for when we need to cook, for when we need to be warm. Okay, fire is good in those instances, okay? But when fire is coming out of your mouth to tear down someone else, when fire is being spewed out of your mouth to hurt someone purposely, to tear down their reputation because you're mad at them or because someone else is mad at them or you observe something about them at that moment and you didn't like it, now you're going around spreading to everybody something about this person. So your mouth that has been set on fire from hell is going around burning up this person's reputation. Your mouth that's set on fire from hell is going around tearing down this person when it doesn't have to be. But we just read that the tongue is an unruly evil. In verse 8 it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Okay? Verse 9, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So we praise God in one breath, and then the next second, we turn off the praise, and then we tear down our brother. God made him, the same God you're just praising, God made him and her. The same God you just got finished lifting up your voice to, saying, God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I adore you. God, I praise you. That same God that you thought you was talking to, you turned right around and used that same tongue and cursed your brother and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. If you find a salt water, go to the ocean or to the sea, and the water is salt water, I don't care what part of that sea you go to, it's going to be salty. Okay? Same thing with fresh water. If you go in fresh water, I don't care where you go at in that body of water, that water is going to be fresh. Okay? So salt water and fresh water cannot mix. Righteousness and unrighteousness cannot mix. Holy and unholy cannot mix. Light and dark cannot mix.
And this is what this is telling us. Is how can we sit there and say these things? Oh, God, I praise you. Go, oh, God, I praise you. I adore you. And before you get out the church, before you get out the parking lot, before you get home, you on a cell phone. Girl, did you see that? Did you see what that thing had on? Did you see her hair, her dress? Did you see the way he was looking at her? I wanted him for myself, but he all looking at her. I mean, Lord help me. Y'all don't have to say amen, but we know it's right anyway. I want to read something else to you. Proverbs warns us that we have a perverse attraction with gossip. When we listen to gossip, mm-hmm. it goes to our innermost part. Gossip corrupts like a fast-spreading cancer. I think I should say that again. Gossip corrupts like a bad-spreading cancer, like a fast-spreading cancer. Okay? I know that when we went to the doctor with my mom in March, they told her she had about 2 months to live. And don't you know, in almost 2 months she was gone? Fast-spreading cancer. That's what gossip is like, okay? It spreads through the body very quickly. Somebody could say something in church, and before everybody gets home, that gossip then spread to at least 10 people. That's how quickly it spreads. Backbiting. The definition for backbiting is malicious talk about somebody who is not present. Slander, defamation, also known as gossip, okay? Backbiting, to speak slanderously or spitefully about another. Backbiting, to attack the character or reputation of a person who is not present. Okay? Gossip. Whisperer. Okay? Romans 1:29. A person who whispers behind your back with the intention of hurting you. That's what a gossip is. Is a person who whispers behind your back with the intention of hurting you. Okay? The Greek scholar Godet describes gossipers as someone who pours out his or her poison by whispering in ears. Felicia.
Yes.
Felicia. She just a hoe. Didn't you know that, Felicia? You weren't just going around whispering. Now, if you was bad, if you could say it out loud so the person can hear you, go ahead and say it in front of the person and see what happens. No. Why? You're not going to say it in front of, because you know you're going to get punched in your face, or you might get a beat down some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? So, no, we're not going to say things about people for real, in front of their face. Now, you got some crazy folks that will, and they don't care, and they'll challenge you and fight you or whatever the case is. But generally speaking, people go behind people's back and talk about them, okay? Slander, to speak evil of someone. These words are interchangeable, basically. If you're talking about a slanderer, a gossiper, a backbiter, they're basically the same thing. They're talking about somebody behind their back, okay? And they're not talking about something good. They're saying something malicious, something hurtful, something devious, something to make sure that that person's reputation is spoiled. Something to make their reputation spoiled. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to say it. Okay? Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So you think it's okay to slander, you know, Reverend so-and-so. You think it's okay to slander sister or brother so-and-so. You think it's okay to slander even people that, you know, are not even, haven't even accepted Christ as your Savior. We still have no right to slander them. We still have no right to gossip about them. We still have no right to backbite about them. Don't you know that people have gone to court, have been taken to court for slander? And when I've looked at enough court cases that when people are taken to court for slander,
the judge will either agree with the plaintiff and say that, yeah, we're going to award you a certain amount of money for slander because that slander, it hurt you. Now because of what they said, you're not able to get a job. Now because of what you said, you're not able to, you know, live in that community because of what they said about you. So it did damage to you. Now on the flip side, she'll say something like, I'm talking about Judge Judy, she'll say something like, well, did they lie? Were you drunk? Yeah, I was drunk, but she didn't have to tell everybody. Okay, but you were drunk, and everybody else saw you, right? Yeah, well, she wasn't slandering. She was telling the truth. Now, that's what Judge Judy would say, okay? So
mm-hmm.
she would make a distinction between the two. But a person that is a slanderer, they will go behind your back and tell everything they know about you with the express intention of hurting you, tearing down your character for whatever reason. And most of the time, a slanderer will not be taken to court. A slanderer is going to go on slandering people and slandering people, and then when the tables are turned on them, oh, they're going to be so offended. Now, why would they be talking about me? I haven't done anything to them. Oh, well, you done your tongue, that world of iniquity, that set on fire of hell, that thing that you've been using for month after month and year after year, you've been using it to talk about everybody. And now it's coming back on you and you're wondering why. Oh, mm-hmm. You forgot. Okay. So Proverbs 16:27 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. And in his lips, there is a burning fire.
Mm.
An ungodly man. Listen to the word. Listen to how it's. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. And his lips, and in his lips, there is a burning fire. You done dug up something about somebody. Now you can't wait to tell it. You done dug up something about somebody. Now you people going around doing background checks on people just so they can tell their business.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that? I'm talking about in the church. They going around doing background checks on people just so they can tell their business.
My Lord.
So-and-so, oh, you don't want to hang around her because she got this in her past. She got this. What? Okay, well, if God forgave them, why can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Not that they did anything to you, but you running around looking for something to talk about somebody about. Then not only you look for something to talk about, you got to find somebody to go and talk about it to. Because it's burning you up. Now you wanted to burn up somebody else. And once we decide that we want to talk about somebody and spread gossip about people and slander people, not only are we hurting ourselves, not only are we hurting the hearer, okay, because the hearer of gossip has to be a willing participant to even listen to it, okay, now we're hurting the body of Christ. We're slandering our brother and sister. We're hurting our own self because we're all supposed to be covered by the same blood. We're all supposed to have the same Father who is God. So not only are we doing something evil, but we're hurting other people with our evil. How many people are we hurting just by slandering one person?
Yeah,
all these people in the media have been slandered by the news media. They've been slandered by church folk. They've been slandered by sinner. They've been judged. Some of them been misjudged. Some of them been rightly judged. But who are we to condemn these people? Who are we to go around and just constantly spread their business?
Mm.
So-and-so is a homosexual. Did you know that? What good is that doing for me to know that they're homosexual? Go on and pray for them. They came out the closet. They have exposed themselves. Now let's pray for them. You know, so-and-so had 8 husbands, child, and she got 15 kids, and she got 8 different baby daddies. Okay, how was that helping me? How is that helping you that Sister Sookie got 8 different baby daddies? How is that helping the body of Christ by you spreading that gospel about her? That make you look good? Because you spreading gossip? But you forgot to tell them that, no, you don't have 8 baby daddies, but you have 5 abortions. And the first kid that you got, you don't even know who that baby daddy is. How about you spread that rumor? No, you don't want to spread a rumor about yourself, because it's easier to take the light off of yourself and put it on somebody else. And women, y'all know we do this too much.
Well, we do.
Women, we got a bad problem with this thing. I'm telling you, I've been reading a book about Joyce Meyer and thinking about what I've been thinking about, and I'm telling you, I catch myself thinking stuff that I have no business thinking. Ever since we've done this chapter, I catch myself thinking stuff, and my mouth get ready to say something about it, and I'd be like,
Right.
That's what I have to do, Felicia. I have to do that. I was like, And I do that to keep my mouth from saying anything. And I was on the phone with a teenager last night, and she kept saying things, and she kept saying things, and then I would say something to her, and she would say something else, and I'd be like, She said, "Why are you doing that, Miss Teresa?" "Why?" I said, "Because I'm not going to say what I just thought. I'm not going to say it. I've already thought it, but I'm not going to say it." Then I have to say, "Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me for thinking that. And thank you for not letting me say it." But this is when you hear me say, don't ask me why I'm saying it. I'm saying it to keep my mouth shut so that I don't be guilty, okay, of doing what this thing says in 16:27 of Proverbs. "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire." So if we're digging up evil on people, and we're going around spreading the evil that we dug up, that means we're ungodly. This just said it right here in Proverbs 16. I didn't write this. It says, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil." Why are you going around trying to check out my background check? If there's something in my background that I need to let you know, I'm going to tell you myself. Okay? But why are you trying to dig up my background? What's in yours? What's in your closet? What lies you done told? Who are you trying to dig up my background for? So you can destroy my character? You don't know that while you're trying to destroy my character, you're tearing down the body of Christ. Oh, y'all, don't listen to her. Don't listen to her, because she done this and she done that. And she used to be this and she... Who are you to tell somebody about what you found out about me or whoever? Who are you? Who gave you the right and the privilege to go and dig up anything on anybody and go around and spread it with the express intent of hurting that person? Don't you know that you got to answer to God for that? And if you don't know, now you know. You done learned something today. Some stuff needs to stay in the closet and prayed on. If you do happen to find out something about somebody, pray for them. Pray for them. Don't spread what you heard about them. Pray for them. Because guess what? The stuff that you sow, you are going to reap. The stuff that you sow is what you're going to reap. Hello, everybody in the chat room. I know it was other people in there, but they left. But that's okay. And Shirley, all you can do is promote it, girl. And they come. They don't. You know? Just put it on your page and inbox people and get them up on the chat when you do that, you know, the chat messaging, and ask them to come. If they come, they come. But
But to the ones that come, God bless you. The ones that don't, maybe they'll catch it in the archives. People, but let me tell you something. Can I just tell you something right here and be truthful about this? People don't want to be corrected. Okay?
That's right.
People don't want to be corrected. People don't want to face the fact that you're a liar, a gossiper, a slanderer, a murderer. People don't want to face that. People don't want to come out of sin. People don't want to be told about their sin because once you're told about your sin, you're held accountable. People know what they're doing, and they do not want their sin to be broadcast. People do not want their sin brought to light. People don't want that. Okay? It's not a popular message to talk about being a murderer. It's not a popular message. Okay? People talking about, oh, why is she talking about I'm a slanderer? Huh? Because God wants his people to be clean. God wants his people to be holy. He wants his people to be pure. And guess what? This message is for me first, the beginning, me. I'm talking about me. When I went through what I went through, I was running my mouth. And then it got to a point, my husband was like, Teresa, that's over. Just leave it alone. Okay? Just leave it alone. There's really nothing you can do about it. Don't talk to so-and-so about it. Just leave it alone. And at first I was like, well, they ain't do nothing to him. They still friends with him. They still this with him. But the point of the matter is that me talking about it is still giving life to it, but life, a devilish life to it, not a godly life. Me talking about them to this person or that person is not helping them at all. So what, you want them to look bad? Yeah, I did want them to look bad. Yep, I sure did. I ain't going to lie, I sure did. I wanted them to look bad because of what they did to me. And then one day the Lord just started talking to me. He was sending confirmation after confirmation. He sent confirmation after confirmation. I mean, people were just coming and saying things. They didn't even know what happened. They were just saying things. Woman of God this, woman of God this, woman of God this. Don't say this, don't do this. I mean, it was just coming back to back to back. And I'm trying to tell you, I had to repent. And see, that's what we need to all do is repent. Okay, and this is open forum, so anybody that wants to talk can talk because it's open forum. But, you know, Felicia, we need to repent because we do it, and some of us gossip so much that it's just a habit. You know what I'm saying? We got to change our thinking. We really have to change our thinking. And then when we realize what we're thinking, we're going to either discard it, plead the blood of Jesus over what we're thinking if it's not godly, and ask God to help us think something else. Give me something else to think about, Lord. Give me your word, Lord. Give me. I need something because what I'm thinking is not right. I look at lesbians, and this is a pet peeve. I look at lesbians, and when they so hard trying to be dudes, I just look at them, and my whole attitude has been, for real, like, y'all need to get it together. My whole attitude has been, like, ill. Like, what is wrong? Like, stop it. God didn't make you that way. That is something that was perverted by the enemy. Okay? And now God is changing my heart. He's changing my heart. Ever since I was able, when God began that healing part of me, where that girl did that stuff to me when I was in that foster home, ever since God began healing me on that thing and revealed to me that I was actually raped by her and began to heal me, okay, he's changing my thoughts. He's changing my thinking about the way I think about them, okay, and looking at them as a soul that needs to be delivered, a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that needs to be given the word of God, not condemnation, not judgment,
not evil thinking, not evil speaking about, but given the word of God. And if there's a point in time where I cannot give them the word of God, to pray for them. Every time they walk past me, pray for them. Is that tedious work? Yes, it can be, because they walk back and forth so many times it's not even funny. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to deliver them from this spirit, this unclean spirit. God, please, in the name of Jesus, deliver them. Let her know that she is a woman. She is a female. She is not a man. You did not make her a man. God, let these men know that you did not make them to be with one another. You made a woman for a man and a man for a woman. God, deliver them. God, set them free in the name of Jesus. That's the kind of stuff he wants us to do. Doesn't that sound much better than backbiting? Doesn't that sound much better than slandering somebody? And not only are you praying for that person, but you're helping yourself, because it's changing your attitude toward the way, you know, toward them. It's changing your attitude about how you actually feel about them, and it's allowing the love of God to come in and do heart surgery on me and work on them. How God gonna answer my prayer if my heart is unclean towards them? If I feel bad about them in my heart, how he going to even answer my prayer about them? See, I got to come clean. I got to come clean about that. I got to come clean about everything that's in me that's not right, so God can hear my prayer. I don't want to be praying and feel like, oh, I'm praying, and then I don't get an answer from God. I wonder why, because your heart's not pure. Your heart's not clean. You got stinking thinking. All these lesbians around here, only one did that thing to me. That was the girl that I was in the foster home with. These other people never done nothing to me. I mean, come on. And that's how we got to be about sin, period. We got to be about sin, period. God, help me. Help me. Make sure my motives are pure. Make sure. Help me to make sure that my heart is right. Help me to make sure that even the things that I'm thinking about towards any person is pleasing to you, Lord God. Because if my thoughts are not pleasing, then it's going to come out my mouth. It's going to come out my mouth. The girl I was talking to yesterday, she kept saying that thing. She won't call her a female. She called her a thing because she's a lesbian. I said, you cannot do that. She's a person. She has a soul. Pray for her. And you hear what I just said? You see how God is healing me, that I could be able to tell somebody that? Because at one time, I think one of my sisters told me I was homophobic. Now, you just homophobic. Okay, well, y'all really didn't know what I went through and had to deal with this person, okay? But guess what? It's all good, okay? It's all good. But it doesn't matter what I went through. God wants my heart clean so that when I come before him and pray for whomever I'm praying for or whatever I'm praying for, that God can hear my prayers and not only hear them but answer them. Amen. That's that thinking. That's that thinking. And then what you meditate on, that we learned from the book. The things you meditate on, what? Comes out your mouth. That's why the scripture said that we read earlier, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Guard what you hear. Don't let people come to you and you be there. They're backbiting or tail bearing or gossiping trash can. Okay? Don't let them spew their venom on you. Don't let them do that. I had a description of the tongue. I had a real good description
of the tongue, and I can't find it right now. Anyway, I can't find it right now, but if I find it, I'll give it to you later on. But we need to check ourselves and make sure that we're not giving place to the devil. We need to check ourselves and make sure that our hearts are clear. We have to check ourselves and make sure that the things that we think and the things that we speak are pleasing to Almighty God. Because in the end, at the end of the day, you know what? When it's time to stand before God, when it's time to stand before Him, we really want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we really want to hear Him say. We don't want to stand before the great white throne of judgment, okay? We don't want to go there because you know what the problem is if you wind up there. You know where you're going for sure when you go there. But we don't want to do that. God has given us tools to help us. He has given us tools to help us. He has given us His word. He has given us His spirit. He has given us other resources. He has given us prayer. He has given us a way of escape every time the temptation comes to gossip, to slander, to backbite. He has given us a way of escape so we don't have to. You know, we don't have to sin, y'all. We don't have to do the things that we do. We do them because we have no control over ourselves. We have not allowed the Spirit of God to help us to control ourselves. We have not allowed ourselves, we have not submitted ourselves totally to God, resisting the devil so he can flee. We're talking about Satan, I bind you, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And he's sitting around laughing, talking about, for real? You binding me, rebuking me, for real? You doing everything I tell you to do. You slandering everybody I tell you to slander. You backbiting about everybody I tell you to backbite about. But yet you dare tell me you rebuke me? Come on now. Don't let the devil laugh at you like that. Please. Don't let the devil laugh at you like that. Come on now. Talk to me, Felicia. Hello? Okay. Well, maybe she's not on the... Uh-oh, the call dropped. Okay. I thought she was still on the line. Okay, Gerald Scott, are you on? Oh, her phone died. Gerald Scott, are you on? I don't hear you. Are you on mute?
Yeah.
No, you're not now. Okay. I don't know how much you've been listening, but from what you have heard, what comment do you have? And before you give your comment, guests in the chat room, if you'd like to make a comment, you may call area code 323-693-3054. 323-693-3054. Okay, Bishop?
Well, I just like that passage of scripture that you read, James 3, speaking about the tongue. We know that the tongue can both heal and also destroy, can make whole and also tear asunder. We have to be so careful with our tongues. The words that we say are biting. Sometimes the tongue can kill more inclusively than actually killing somebody. Telling somebody's reputation, their good name, their reputation or whatever, it is an awful thing. You know, we have to be careful how we treat one another. For the way you talk determines what you're thinking and how you feel about things. Your tongue can reveal your heart more than anything else. Sometimes, just like you said before, we give the impression that we've arrived and that we've attained some sort of right standing with the Lord. Then we open up our mouths and we start showing that we haven't quite reached that plateau of fellowship with God, because the Lord always has something good to say, to encourage, to build up, to even when He criticizes and when He chastened, it was to improve a person's life, not destroy their lives. So we just have to be so careful that we are deliberate, that we're very mindful of how we speak to one another. When we feel ourselves get ready to say something that's not pleasing or not encouraging or not uplifting, and we need to keep our mouths still. Close that mouth, bridle that tongue.
Bridle that, I like that. Close that mouth, bridle that tongue. That's why a lot of times I'll be like, and people will say, go ahead and say what you was going to say. Nope. Not going to say it. Not going to say it. And I want to just get to the point where I don't even think it. You know, I just want to get to that point and be able to get to that point where I can do that and just be like, that's where I want to be.
And the sad thing, the whole thing is this, Evangelist, is that most time people that are biting with their tongue can't take it themselves.
I said that earlier, yes.
You know, we're so quick to jump and so quick to speak. And sometimes we feel as though, well, what I'm saying is the truth, and because it's the truth, I need to say it. Oh, no, that's not true.
That's not true all the time.
That's not true. And just like I said, if it's meant to destroy, that's not what our mouths are for. Not to tear down. It's to build up.
I just had to tell her about herself. I just had to tell him about herself. I just had to. No, you ain't had to. You just wanted to.
Somebody had to get him straight. Somebody had to tell the story or whatever. No. Why does that be you? Why does that be you?
Because I got to look good in somebody's eyes and let them think I'm bad. You know, I'm tough.
Exactly.
I'm Mighty Joe Young.
My whole philosophy was always, if I got to tear you down to build myself up, that's not a good enough reason to tear you down.
It's weak.
And that's a sad person who has to make you look small for them to look big.
Well, a lot of times people that are doing a lot of gossiping and backbiting are also people that are dealing with self-esteem problems themselves.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, I just want to read this from out of the Joyce Meyer Bible, what is it called? The Amplified Bible. The Everyday Life Bible. It says on page 2066, it says, the Bible says a great deal about the tongue and the words of our mouth. The tongue holds the power of life and death. See Proverbs 18:21. The Apostle James said that if any man can control his tongue, he is a fully developed character and can also control his entire being. That's in James 3:2. The tongue is a little member of the body, but it causes tremendous problems. Relationships often end because of things that are said or not said. People lose jobs, cause strife and misunderstanding, and embarrass themselves all with that one tiny organ, the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, so we need God's help. King David prayed that God would put a watch or a guard over his mouth. See Psalm 141:3. Let's turn to that, okay? Psalm 141. It says, King David prayed that God would put a watch or a guard over his mouth. He also prayed that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart would be acceptable in God's sight. See Psalm 19:14. David knew he could not control his mouth without God's help, and neither can we. We should avoid all harsh, hard, unjust words. See Isaiah 58:9. Let's do Psalm 141:3 first.
Okay.
Psalm 141. This is why it's important for us to have our Bibles, because we need to read the word. Because this is the word of God. I don't care whose Bible it is in, it's the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to read, we're going to read Psalm 141. What does it say? 141:3? Psalm 141:3.
Amen.
Wait a minute, what am I reading? I'm looking at something else. Oh, okay. I was looking at something else. Psalm 141, I'm going to start at verse 1, okay? Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties.
My mind.
Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, we're talking about King David. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And then in 4, he says, incline not my heart to do any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Now, this is some good word here. This is some good word here tonight. We should be saying, ouch, help me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, clean me, Lord. All of that. It goes on to say, we should avoid harsh, hard, unjust words. See Isaiah 58:9. Jesus said we must take his yoke upon us and learn of him, because he is gentle, meek, and humble, not harsh, hard, sharp, and pressing. She says, see Matthew 11:29-30. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. Even the tone of our voice, Gerald, even the tone of our voice is important, because it reveals the condition of our heart.
That's right. Yeah.
Even the tone of our voice is important, because it reveals the condition of our heart. Teresa, what? Teresa, man, what you want? Teresa, yes, dear. How you want it. Okay. We can speak words of healing or words that wound. We can edify and build up our, or discourage and tear down. Words are containers for power, and they carry either positive or negative power. The decision is up to us. Words are seeds that we sow, and they definitely bring a harvest in our lives. Those who indulge the tongue must eat the fruit of their words, whether they are for life or death. People.
My Lord.
Those who indulge the tongue must eat the fruit of their words, whether they are for life or death.
I
had to say that again. I had to say that one again. Okay. One of the things we should strive to do is think before we speak. I believe I said that earlier. We need to think before we talk. The Bible says that we are not to be rash with our mouths, but how many times do we say things and then think, oh, I wish I had not said that? How many times do you say something, I wish I hadn't said that? Now the word's out there in the atmosphere, you can't bring it back. But then it's too late, because the words are already doing their work. I recommend a thorough study of all these subjects and a sincere prayer asking God to help us to tame the tongue. How many on this line, it's only me and you and my husband on the line, Felicia, on the actual phone line. It's only us three on the phone line, you, me, and my husband, that are actually on the phone line that can talk. How many of us on the phone line, and how many of us in the chat room, oh, all those people left, they don't want to hear about this either, huh? Woo, funny. How many of us in the chat room, is only my sister in there now, and Pastor Felicia, How many of us know we have a problem with our mouth and want God to help us stop? Now, see, you don't have to tell me. I can't see you, Felicia. You can't see me. I can't see you, Shirley. You can't see us. Gerald, I can't see you. We're in the same place, but we're in different rooms, so you can't see me and I can't see you. Okay? This is what's cool about this. Nobody, we can't see each other. So, how many of us want God to help us put a watch? We want God to put a watch over our lips. Let me go back and read that, just like it was saying. I'm going to go back and read that. Set a watch. Set a watch. Let me go back to this here. This book got some good stuff in it. So how about I need to find it? Here it is. He says, when he prayed, set a watch. Psalm 141:3. And paste this up on the wall. David prayed that God would put a watch or a guard over his mouth. Okay? Put a watch or a guard over his mouth. And you hear me say Psalm 19:14 a lot. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. I'm trying to find that one scripture. This scripture, Psalm 16:27, we all need to write this down. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Proverbs 17:27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his word, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. See, the Bible also tells us that even a fool is considered wise when he's quiet. Even a fool is considered wise when he's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? I have some more scriptures if y'all want to write these down. But y'all can talk too. You got something to say, Felicia?
On that gossip, I just wanted to say, even if you are in a room or you're with someone and you know they're gossiping and you don't correct it, you're just as guilty as them. You know, I was in a situation at one point where gossip was going on. And some kind, I hadn't said a word. I just was like, I'm keeping my mouth quiet. You know, I'm not in it. My name is Bennett. But some kind of way my name got put in it because I was there. I was the party that was sitting there. So, if we hear someone that is gossiping or, you know, speaking against somebody, we need to correct it. You know, because you're just as guilty as the person who is gossiping. Just wanted to add that.
That's a good thing to add, too, because, and a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not going to say that because they're going to say, I think I'm too good and I think I'm better than them. Okay, well, let them say it. Let them say it. But you have saved your soul, okay? You have saved your soul. And you might have saved their soul, too, because you're correcting something that's wrong. Now, everybody's not going to listen to that correction. They're just not. But the more you say it, then they're going to stop gossiping around you. They might not ever stop gossiping, but they'll stop gossiping around you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the hard knots, they just going to keep doing it because they hard not. But anyway, turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, sometimes when you read your Bible, you just read your Bible. But then when you actually do a study, God begins to show you things that you're like, dang, I've read this before, but I never read this before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with this study right here. I'm like, wow, are you serious? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. And it says, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible again. It says, for I am fearful that somehow or other I may come and find you, not as I desire to find you, and that you may find me too, not as you want to find me, that perhaps there may be factions or quarreling, jealousy, temper, wrath, intrigues, rivalry, divided loyalties. Selfishness, here's this word, whispering, gossip, arrogance or self-assertion, and disorder among you. So he was saying, I'm scared that if I come there, I'm going to find this stuff among y'all. He said, I am fearful that when I come again, my God may humiliate and humble me in your regard, and that I may have to sorrow over many of those who sinned before and have not repented of the impurity, sexual vice, and sensuality which they formerly practiced. Paul said, I'm fearful. I'm scared that when I come there, I'm going to find that y'all been whispering, y'all been gossiping and backbiting about each other.
Mm-hmm.
You jealous. Your tempers are all messed up. Divided loyalty. Okay? Selfishness. Whisper. I'm scared that when I come in, that's what I'm going to find. This is what Paul said. Now, you know gossip and backbiting ain't nothing new. It's just continuing on. It's just continuing on. And like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I've been in denominations. I've been in Church of God in Christ. I've been in United Pentecostal. I've been in Baptist. I've been in non-denominational. I've been to, what you call it, AME, okay? I've been to Methodist Church. I've been to Catholic Church. I'm going to tell you, you find gossiping, backbiting, and tail-bearing in every denomination that I've been in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sure do.
You find gossiping, backbiting, slandering, whispering, all that stuff in big congregations and little congregations. It don't matter. You find it in the white church. You find it in the black church. You find it in the Spanish church. You find it in the Asian church. You find it everywhere. But like you said, somebody has to stand up and say, oh, uh-uh. You can't, please don't do that around me. Please don't, I don't want to hear it. Please don't do that around me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another scripture. Let me see what Proverbs 11:13 says. Proverbs 11:13. Now, Proverbs is full of wisdom.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
My husband got me this Bible. So it's still new, and I'm trying to get these pages unstuck. Proverbs 11. Oh, come on. What did I say, 13? Yep. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy and faithful in spirit keeps the matter hidden. You heard?
Mm-hmm.
He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. He who is trustworthy and faithful in spirit keeps the matter hidden. So they're not going to run around and tell everybody what they saw Jim Bob do. They're not going to run around and tell everybody what they saw Sister do. Okay? They're going to go. Now, take that thing to their prayer closet, and they're going to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do. Okay? They're not even going to meditate on it and think about it. They're going to go and pray about it, ask God to wash their mind in the blood so they don't have to think about that thing. Okay? Because sometimes things just happen to come up, and you hear things. Like you say, you might walk in a room, and you hear somebody talking. You just might have heard X, Y, Z. You might even heard something on the news. And you know, the Holy Spirit told me one day something about somebody famous that was happening. And this was several people that I've done this to. I go right to Google and look up so-and-so and see what so-and-so did. And the Lord said to me one day so clearly, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you looking up stuff on this people? What is it going to profit you by looking up whether so-and-so was this and whether so-and-so was that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to know that? I was like, click. Let me hurry up and get off of here right now.
Right.
I'm serious. Proverbs 16:28. Let's see what this is. See, this is why I couldn't go into the Joyce Meyer thing tonight, because this is one of the things that God just wanted me to talk about. Proverbs 16:28. These pages are sticking together. And listen to the names. Y'all should write down the names, okay? A wicked man. This one says a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's true, right? Y'all know that's
true. Oh, yeah.
A whisperer separates close friends. And that stuff is rooted in jealousy, like we just got finished reading about in 2 Corinthians 12. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A perverse man sows strife. Now they're calling us perverse. And a whisperer separates close friends. The verse before that, verse 27, says, a worthless man devises and digs up with mischief. And in his lips, there is as a scorching fire. That's the one we read before.
Mm-hmm.
A worthless man, a perverse man, none of that stuff is good. None of that is good.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Proverbs 26:20. Proverbs have you saying, ouch, help me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry, I won't do that again, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. 26:20. For the lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention ceases. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
If there's no wood, there's no fire. Okay? And if there's no whisperer, no gossiper, none of that around, contention ceases. Verse 22 says, the words of a whisperer or slanderer are like dainty morsels or words of sport to some, but to others are like deadly wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body or of the victim's nature. Isn't that horrible?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 23 says, burning lips, uttering insincere words of love, and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel covered with the scum thrown off from molten silver, making it appear to be solid silver. That just hurts right there. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel covered with the scum thrown off from molten silver, making it appear to be solid silver. It's like the scum. It's fake. It's nasty. It's no good. Scum coming off of silver is no good. That's why it's scum. Now y'all know where that word scum comes. Okay? He who hates pretends with his lips, but stores up deceit within himself. Verse 24. Verse 25 says, when he speaks kindly, do not trust him, for seven abominations are in his heart. You heard that, Felicia?
Amen.
In verse 25, when he speaks kindly, do not trust him, for seven abominations are in his heart. Verse 26 says, though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness shall be shown openly before the assembly. Verse 27, whoever digs a pit for another man's feet shall fall into it himself, and he who rolls a stone up a height to do mischief, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hates those it wounds and crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Excuse me. That's all from Proverbs chapter 26.
My.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first. Wait a minute. Let's stay in Proverbs for one more second. Proverbs 16:28. I don't know if we did that one already. I think we did. Proverbs 16:28. We did 27, I know. Let's see if we did 28. Proverbs 16. Yeah. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. 1 Timothy 5:13. For those that might hear this and say, oh, yeah, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay. We got you.
Sorry.
So, we got you. We're going to go over in the New Testament. We already read 2 Corinthians 12:20. Now we're going to read 1 Timothy 5:13. It says, moreover, as they go about from house to house, they learn to be idlers, and not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things they should not mention. I heard that?
Mm-hmm.
As they go about from house to house, they learn to be idlers, and not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things that they should not mention. These scriptures is hurting. Bang, bang, pow. Bang, bang, pow. All right, and I think that's the last scripture I have for right now. Romans 1:29-30. Let's see what that says. You know, a lot of people don't like that Romans chapter 1. 1:29-30. Well, I'm going to start at 28. And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him, or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome, until they were filled or permeated and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, conscienceless and faithless, heartless and loveless and merciless. though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die. They not only do them, here you go, Felicia. They not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them.
Mm,
so not
right.
only do they do the stuff that they approve and they applaud others who do it, who do those things. What you got to say about that? So, like you said, if we're sitting around listening to gossip, we're applauding them, okay, and approving it. If I'm actually sitting there letting you gossip to me, I'm approving what you're doing and what you're saying because I'm letting you sit there do it in my presence.
It's almost like a murderer. A murderer and his accomplice. The accomplice didn't pick up the gun. The accomplice didn't shoot the gun. The accomplice didn't do anything. And that was the problem. Because they failed to act, because they failed to stand up and speak against what was being done to the victim, they too are accused of the crime. And many times they have to face the same penalty as does the one who actually pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Isn't that a shame?
Mm-hmm.
You were just there. You were the accomplice. You didn't pull the trigger, but you was there. And now you got to go to jail too.
Not
because
no.
you were there. You didn't pull the trigger, but when the popo come, they coming to get you too.
Yeah, just. This is good.
See, it's we got a lot of growing up to do. We got to grow up spiritually. We have to. We got to. It's a must. You know, those of us, all of us are still striving for perfection. Not one of us have made it. But we ought to be helpers one to another. You know what I'm saying? Especially those of us in the body of Christ. We ought to look out for one another. If you hear me gossiping, you be like, don't do that. If I call you and I got something, I can't talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. That's gossip. We ought not to be doing this. Okay? If somebody calls me, it should be the same thing. No, we're not supposed to do this. I don't want to hear it. I love you, but I don't want to hear it. And that's where I want to get to the point, too, where I'll be able to say, look, stop. I used to have a recording on my phone when we first got this phone, this house phone, and it would say, this is a holy phone, no gossip. If you intend to gossip, hang up and call back another time. I sure did. I had something. It's not those are not the exact words, but it's very similar to that effect. I sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said something about it. They didn't like it. And it was somebody, a church person. They was like, why you have that on your phone? Because, I mean, that's what I was meaning to. That's how I was meaning to live.
Yeah.
But I asked God to help me with my mouth because I have a mouth on me. And I could use excuses why my mouth is like this, but no excuse is good. Not as far as God is concerned. He just gave us all this word that we just sat here and read. We just sat here and read this word of God. Now we have to meditate on this word of God, and we have to apply this word of God so that we can be clean. If nobody else wants to be clean, they don't have to be clean. You know, there are some things that my husband says this all the time. My husband, he says, you know, I just lost my train of thought. That's not what he says, but I just lost my train of thought. Because he says a lot, but I can't think what I was getting ready to say right then. Something else just caught my attention. But we just have to be careful about what we say. And a lot of times, sometimes we don't even have to say anything, our attitude.
Oh, yeah.
our attitude can project what we're really feeling. I can look at you a certain way and you want to know, look, just leave me alone because I'm not feeling you right now, you know, or I'm disgusted with something, you know. And my husband says, there, you know, Satan don't come bother you with the stuff that you already got victory over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to come bother
mm-hmm.
you with, okay, so now you don't commit adultery no more, so he not really coming to you with that. You know, you certain things you just don't do right now, so he just not going to come to you and bother you with that. But that thing where you trying to really get right with God, he'll send situations, things will come up, and you be like, man, I just said I wasn't going to do that, and here I am doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
So we brag about the stuff we got victory over, but what about those little foxes that spoil the vine?
Yeah.
That is what my husband says. Okay? So you got victory over that, and you got victory over that. And, yeah, he ain't going to leave you for a season and not mess with you with that. But what about the little foxes that spoil the vine?
And really that tongue thing is really something that we all are struggling with. And yet it's something that we struggle with in one way, but in another way, we submit to it so easily.
So easily.
I'm learning, and I do it every day. I make myself keep quiet. There's things that are said to me, there's things that are spoken into me, and the way it's spoken and all that, and I'm learning just to be still and just ignore it. And sometimes that can hurt people too, you know, you're ignoring how they're acting towards you, you know, you're just ignoring it. But I've learned, I'm learning, I guess, because sometimes I will respond. But I'm learning every day. I really want to work on that. And that's not even a weakness of mine, really, because I don't really, you know, get mildly with people too much. I just leave it alone. But I want to even be more perfect in it. You know, I'm getting to a point. I don't want to settle for getting better. I'm striving to be the best. And it's not an egotistical thing. It's not one upmanship on somebody. It's not so I can brag that I'm better than you. But it's for my own desire, for me, for my sake. You know, I've watched the movie Teresa Teresa, her name is, and it's about a nun who was abused and all of that. And you know, in terms of attitude and things were done to her by superior nuns over her. She was a novice, and one day she went to the Mother Superior. And she said to the Mother Superior, she said, you know, maybe I've chosen the wrong vocation. Maybe I need to quit being striving to be a nun. And everything I try to do, it never satisfies anyone. And I always seem like I'm failing and I'm not succeeding in what I'm attempting to do. And the Mother Superior, she said, you know, just pray on it. But sometimes our challenges, sometimes the things that challenge us is to make us what we need to be. We need to crucify this flesh. We need to have our pride tested and tried sometime. You know, where we think, how dare they talk to me like that? I'm trying my best, and how come they don't see that I'm trying my best? I'm doing the best I can, and yet here they're still criticizing, and how dare they do that? You know, sometimes your enemies can be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your enemy can be your best friend because they challenge you to become what God wants you to become. And that's why I think God allows your enemies some leeway with you and with me so that we can begin to look at ourselves and say, should I respond to that? Should I get even? I would be justified in speaking up against what someone says about me or does to me or whatever. But just like I said about a ministerial colleague of mine, but the Lord told me, he said, you had every right to tell the both of your superior, the bishop, what this other elder has done with you and to you and said about you. But if you want what I have for you, I'd advise you not to say anything to anybody and just roll with the punches and love them anyway and speak kindly to them anyway and still go up to them and say good morning and good afternoon and how's your day. And all of you don't have to be friends. You don't have to be buddy-buddy. But you also don't have to retaliate with like manner. You're accusing him of speaking ill of you. Why would you then speak ill of him? It bothered you that he spoke about you. Why would you then speak about him? Let it go and be blessed.
That's right.
And be blessed. And sometimes we got to let it go and be blessed. We don't have any right to speak up. Well, they did something I don't like, or they said something I didn't like, or I disagree with that, and I'm going to tell them about it. But then you're not going to be blessed. What good is it? What really good is it to try to get even with our mouths? Oh, no, we talk about, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And we're talking about actions that we don't do. But sometimes we speak our actions. We speak our intentions. We speak how we feel, like you said in the scripture. It says, you know, how you feel in your heart is revealing what you say. So, no, I didn't slap you if you slapped me. No, I didn't retaliate in like manner. But sometimes we get on the phone and we'll talk about the person. We'll get on the phone and we'll rehash it and speak about it over and over and over again. And, you know, we just won't let it go. And God is saying, when are you going to let it go? When are you just going to let it go and forget about it and not just rehearse this thing over and over and again in your mind? We talk about forgiving, but we can't forget. We talk about letting it go, but we keep on talking about it. We talk about, well, I've forgiven them, but you're still talking about it. Have you really forgiven and have you really let it go when you continuously talk about it to everybody, and almost like a badge of courage, well, you know, I couldn't forgive, but now I'm able to forgive him. And, you know, I know. And then this is where it shows the truth of the matter. Then you talk about what you forgave. Then you harp on what you forgave. Have you really forgiven then? You got to tell everybody that you forgave. Okay, stop it there. But then we go to the next step and tell what we forgave. Like we've done something great. We're supposed to forgive. God said, if you can't forgive your neighbor, he's not going to forgive you. We're supposed to do that. Some things we're supposed to do. And we don't need to be bragging about it or even rehashing it. It may not be bragging it, but in the way we are, but we certainly are, you know, we're rehashing it over and over again. Some things you're supposed to do. But you shouldn't even tell nobody about it because it's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Supposed to do these things. It's nothing God, you know, in fact, the word tells us. This is what you're supposed to do. You don't forget kudos for doing what you're supposed to do. If you taught your children how to clean their room and you made that a stipulation for them getting an allowance, you know, you should not be, in fact, we as parents don't do it. Or when we do it, we'll let the child know, well, what were you telling me for? You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to take out the trash. If I tell you to take out the trash, you're supposed to do that. Why does the keyboard tell you, oh, good job, I'm glad you took out the trash? I may say that one or two times to encourage you, but after a time, I don't say nothing about you taking out the trash. That's your job to do. But we act like, you know, we're still sucking on our mother's breast milk. And we haven't grown up to eating the steak. Every little thing we do, we want God to, and everybody and everything in the world to look at it and say, oh, what a good job little Johnny did. What a good job little Gerald did. My God, Gerald, you've been in the ministry 50 years. You're supposed to grow up a little bit. We have to keep on telling you, good work. Good job, little Gerald. I told you that the first couple of times, good work. Now I'm going to keep on telling you all the time, good work for what you're supposed to be doing. I help my neighbor. Well, I want to tell everybody, you know, I help Sister Sue. You're supposed to help Sister Sue. That's just your job to do. God told you that. He said, if you don't help Sister Sue, you're going to hell. That's what Matthew 25 says. So, I mean, okay, you applaud me one time, maybe two times, maybe three times. But after time, I mean, it gets old news, you know. I should want to do things because I should do it, not to get some accolades from anybody, not even God. I should do it anyhow. If God doesn't pull up with a Mercedes Benz because I help somebody across the street, so be it. I'm supposed to help somebody across the street. Should be no condition to my doing good and well on somebody. That shouldn't be a badge of courage because I don't speak against people and I don't gossip. That's nothing to me. That's nothing. I'm supposed to do that. Thank you.
So my computer is acting crazy right now, and I don't really know. We have like less than 10 minutes left. So let us just consider what's been heard tonight, and not only consider it, but let's just begin to live what the word says. And while my husband was talking, one thing I did notice is that if you really think about what you're thinking about and thinking about what you're saying, you begin to allow God to set a watch over your mouth, you'll find out that you really don't have a whole lot to talk about. There's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, think about it. Like, is that necessary to talk about?
Well, what did Christ say, evangelist? He said, if we say any more than yes and no, we're danger of hellfire. And yes and no don't take much conversation. And yes and no don't take much conversation. How you doing today? Pretty good. That's it. I'm blessed. That's it. I begin to start elaborating on things, and here we go.
That's just how it is. And human nature is just a mess. And human, we just need to really do what Romans 12:2 says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's going to take the word of God, and it's going to take prayer. But even beyond that, it's going to take a desire to want to do better.
Amen.
It's going to take a desire to want to, you know, just do better. And we can all do better. We just have to want to do better. And not just want to do better, but practice doing better. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you practice becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes a habit, whatever you practice, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I remember when I first started smoking, I had to practice smoking. And mm-hmm. like a dummy, instead of inhaling the smoke, I would swallow the smoke. And I swallowed so much of it, I was rushed to the hospital from school.
Oh, wow.
Practicing smoking got me sent to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we practice, whether it's good or whether it be bad, that's what we're going to get. But we should ought to want to practice something that's good that God will be pleased with. So I hope in the archives, if you're going to listen to the archives, whoever may be tuning into this October 1st broadcast of Out of Pure Heart Ministries, I hope you hear something that will help you as it is helping us. And let us just go throughout this week and meditate on these very scriptures. If you go back and listen to the blog, the archives, you'll be able to catch every scripture that was read tonight. Okay? We have Old Testament scripture, and we have New Testament scripture. Okay, and the scriptures from the Old Testament came from the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is wisdom. It's wisdom if we choose to follow what it says. But we have a choice. God's not going to make us do it. He has given us this word tonight, and it's up to us to obey the word of God. Hey, if not, you know what the consequences are. I posted something on my page last night, and it said, wouldn't it be sad, what was it, Shirley? Wouldn't it be sad to live a life as an almost Christian, and then when you die, you almost go to heaven?
Wow. Very sad.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You was almost a Christian. And then when you die, you almost went to heaven. You almost
don't get it.
My husband said almost only counts in horseshoes. Almost only counts on. Can you imagine? Well, who was that? King Agrippa said, almost thou persuaded me
to be a Christian.
Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost got me. You almost got me.
These have been old hymn. Almost persuaded, but lost.
Isn't that horrible?
almost persuaded. You almost made it to heaven.
What laws?
Almost. I don't want to be almost.
And you know what's even sadder? To see somebody else walk into heaven that you led to Christ and you don't get there yourself.
Yeah, that's bad. It's just time to shut up.
And walk by you as they go into heaven. And you said, boy, I remember when I preached that sermon, or I remember when I called them up on the phone and I witnessed about the goodness of the Lord, and they were convinced, converted, and persuaded. And they look at them going on to heaven. Here, Saint Peter's walking them in on in. And here I'm going the opposite direction.
That would be sad. Now, if he wasn't already dead, that would be a reason to commit suicide. Be like, look, how you make it to heaven and I didn't? Well, you were still gossiping and slandering and lying and backbiting.
Hey, half of them folk that won't be caught up in rapture, they'll be sitting in church, in the pulpit, in the choir loft, where the ushers sit, where the deacons sit, where the stewards sit, where the trustees sit, and they're still sitting. And they were the ones who gave the most money. And they were the ones who came out to everything that the church had. And they're the ones who had more chicken dinners than there were chickens left on earth.
Lord today.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who cooked the last chicken.
Well, my computer's shutting down, y'all. It says we have 11 minutes, but we know that's not true.
We got about 3 more minutes to go, and that'll be it.
So we're going to close out on our theme song.
Theme song.
If it lets
theme
us.
Theme song.
You don't know our theme song?
You know the theme song, Pastor
Felicia.
Tomorrow. And I propose tonight. You want to play that tonight?
I can't play it because it won't let me.
Okay, well, just hum it. Hum it then. with that last note.
How about that?
Close enough.
How about that? Now, guess what? I don't know what's going on because I had to shut this thing down. Now, I don't know if the chat room is still in there. They're probably not because I had to shut it down. I need a new computer. Help me, Jesus. I need a new one.
For me, though I laugh and play and continue on to say, tomorrow I'll give my life, tomorrow better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well we begin today.
I'm trying to get back in here so I can shut down the studio and it's not letting me. I guess when I hang up, it'll shut it down.
Well, until the day. Oh, the tomorrow. You have to announce tomorrow, right? Aren't you having a special program tomorrow night?
Oh, tomorrow night we're going to have Everett Drake from the Bobby Jones Gospel Program.
That's what I am.
On at 5 o'clock p.m. Please tune in if you can.
And don't forget October the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Revival.
Amen.
With evangelist
Barbara Mack
from Drake's in the Morning.
Carter.
Free the Door and Freedom Doors Ministry. It would be nice if Pastor Felicia could come.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. God bless y'all. God bless you tonight. God bless you. We love you. 10 seconds. And have a wonderful, 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 wonderful night. Amen. In Jesus' name. Good night. God bless you.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Sue Ellen. Ha, ha, ha.